I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to the Lanterne Rouge Cycling Podcast presented by Zwift here for the Quebec Classic. Well, the Grand Prix Cycliste de Quebec, rather. The first of 2 1-day races in Canada. They're back after a hiatus due to COVID. And the first one, Quebec, goes around a 12K loop around the Citadel of Quebec. It has 2,400 meters of climbing. Montreal is much hillier. On the start list, we have Pogačar, Van Aert, Adam Yates, Danny Martinez, Laporte, Moritz, Guillaume Martin, Binyam Girmay, Cosnefroid, Godu. So a lot of riders tuning up for Worlds, and a lot of riders like Matthews, like Paulus, Bettiol on Bex and EF, and Garcia Cortina Aramburu on Movistar looking for big points. This race offers the same points as a Monument Classic, 500 to the winner, 400 to second, which is more than fifth in the Vuelta. But I'm here with Alejandro, our man on the ground. He does the Lanterne Rouge en Español videos, but he lives in Canada as well. So he's made his way over to Quebec. What was it like for the riders last night? Pretty relaxed. I know they all had a long flight over.
Yeah, I mean, they had a long flight. Hello, Patrick, and to everyone listening. But last night for them was, I think, pretty quiet, you know. They had like this big room where everyone, cyclist organization, everyone had like a dinner. They seemed like pretty well, pretty relaxed, and they had like enough time to rest and prepare for today's race.
Yeah, and you saw like the mechanics were by candlelight, or headlight rather, were making or fixing the bikes. I think you got some interviews with winner Anna Kona, Danny Martinez. What did Danny Martinez, I feel like I haven't seen him race for a while, almost since his Liège Basque successes. He looked in good shape. What did he have to say, and particularly about this race and the rest of his season?
Yeah, so yeah, I met him after the dinner. I mean, he looked pretty well, you know. And what he told basically was that, he was out of the World Champions because Ineos needed him for the rest of the season. So he's going to be like basically in these Canadian races, then in all the Italian classics, Pantani, Emilia, Lombardia, etc. Like, he will be making that calendar. And for now, like, he has not any plans, you know, for 2023. He just going to finish the season. He told me, like, for example, La Vuelta was never an option because, like, he just got out from the Tour de France very, very tired. So he just wanted to have some time off the bike, resting and then recovering for, like, this final part of the season.
I'm kind of surprised he's not doing the World Championships. Like, I think if the World Championships, if it was in Imola, same parkour as Wollongong, but in Imola, Uran would do it. I'm not sure if Rigo is doing it for Colombia or Danny Martinez. You got to remember, this guy was up there in Liège and was very, very strong. Like, it's surprising. And I think the fact that it's in Australia is really putting riders off. We also, Alejandro, got a moment with Binyam Girmay, who's been back. He was at Britannia Classic, one of the big contenders for the World Championships, obviously with this parkour. And this is what he had to say about the race he wanted in Quebec.
Today it's going to be for sure it's harder, so especially Louis, this really hard last lap. So I mean, it's the last 3K. So yeah, I'm just expecting to be a small bunch group to have some good sprint.
Are you going to try a late attack or maybe just bet all for the sprint?
I mean, it's all about to have at least as soon as we can small sprint, a small group. So yeah, for me, I would like to have a small bunch sprint, not attack anymore.
Yeah, obviously wanting a small group sprint, that's more possible with 2,400 meters of elevation. I should say what the main climb is. It's the Côte de Glacis, which is 400 meters at 5.8%, but then there's another little short climb after it. There's a flat section in the middle, though, and it finishes with a false flat uphill. There is a 12% pinch at 100 meters sort of left in this climb, but it's not like Montreal. So Wavenaar, Binnie, Matthews, they all want to sprint. EF sort of teams more likely to want an attack from a Betiol, from a Paulus, from a Piccolo. But before we get into the race recap, mention our show partners, Zwift, the upcoming changes to Zwift, including the ability to race your segment personal best. And if you're from Canada or North America, you know that winter is coming, so there's no better time to get on Zwift or try Zwift Academy to keep you fit and keep you on top of your training over the winter that's coming. There's also the Zwift Hub, the new trainer released by Zwift, the physical trainer, incredibly priced, on sale from the 3rd of October. You can sign up for notifications for when the Zwift Hub goes on sale, or to find out more about Zwift and their new smart trainer, head to Zwift.com down below. But anyway, Alejandro, what did you think? How did you think the race would play out? Because it's like there's two races, right? There's the points battle between EF, and I know I keep talking about it, but it really, the way the early race played out was the points teams. There's Lotto, Israel, EF, Movistar, Bike Exchange. How did you think they would, whose role would it be, them to control or make the race, or Intermarché, Wout, Jumbo, the safe teams, but with two big favorites?
Well, I mean, like what they, or the plan they had was like, like more like in this speculation terrain, you know, like just let Jumbo, let Intermarché do or control the race and see what they could do. Because I mean, I think they were trying like more like to take surprise and try to save a lot of energy, like as much as they could, like to start to make like these late attacks, as we saw, for example, with Piccolo, two other riders, you know. So I think that was like their plan, you know, because in the bunch sprint, they wouldn't have any option, yeah? So they had like to come like to this surprise plan, see how it will sort out. But at the end, I think that was like the most proper strategy. They will have like to try to gain those points. For example, we also saw when, I don't know, I think it was Clark, that he was in a chasing group with Tratnik, etc. So I think that was like the better option. They will have to gain points. And I didn't see like any other scenario where they could, for example, control the bunch, do other things, because, you know, their options will be less.
Even so, there weren't optimal points hunting strategies from these teams today, at least in my opinion. What Lotto did is they've brought a weak team to Canada. They haven't brought Campenaerts, who could do very well on this parkour. They had Grignard in the breakaway. There was Tratnik, I think, bridging across. This is with 40Ks to go. There was an early break, with Tamir, Grignard. I can't remember who else. It was the break Caruso. Had no chance. Caruso was in there as well. I remember there were like three red teams. And there was a counter move with Clark. With Tratnik, I think, across that, with Piccolo. And it got there, but it got mowed down. This is with 40Ks to go when the race really started to heat up. It was a little bit sedentary before then. There wasn't too much action. And it was clear what EF's strategy was, to roll Betiol, to roll Piccolo and Paulus off the front as much as possible. Magnus Cort still, like, this race, Magnus Cort should be coming eighth in this race at worst, but he's just no good in them. I don't know what it is. He's done well in San Remo before. Anyway, that's brought back. Jumbo Visma being lent on. But Jumbo, I thought this was... They did a strategy, Alejandro, which was a little bit different to maybe the conventional one. They let Enkhorn, Tosh van der Sande, Laporte, their strategy seemed to be to let them go with moves and sit in, rather than just pull for Wavenaar in the sprint. What did you, and Intermarché just sat in and did nothing? Like, I don't know, would you be surprised if they did the same thing at Montreal? I'm not sure.
Yeah, you know what? I think like when I was talking like to the people there, to the cyclists, like, I mean, in everyone's mind, there was just like one possible scenario for the finish and was a punch sprint. So then I think what Jumbo was thinking then was like, okay, just try to save Van Aert for the sprint. And if there are like these late attacks, these counter attacks, then we can just send other riders. But I mean, like they were like, for me, too confident that they will get into a bunch sprint and then Van Aert could win easy. Yeah. Because I mean, in other scenario, because this race, like in the last years, last editions, you know, it's been like too tough or how do I say, too tough to surprise, you know, like everything is controlled. So they thought the scenario will be the same. And I think if it is another race, then they would have used another strategy, you know, like what they have done, for example, in the sprint, you know, trying to launch Van Aert from early, that kind of things. But because everyone was thinking just in the sprint here, so I think that had like a big impact on the strategy that Jumbo used.
And yeah, it's, this maybe is the one where if you just pull, it just benefits Binnie, because Binnie was clear. He said to you in the interview, he's going to wait for a sprint. He was just going to sit on Wout van Aert. And so you're just having a coin flip sprint between Wout and Binnie and maybe even Matthews. Matthews is really good at these uphill drags. Britannia Classic is very similar. He's won that before. And another rider who's won that race would feature very heavily in this. And so, sorry if we're a bit all over the place. It's a late one, but the move with Stan van Tricht is brought back. Quickstep don't have an all-out sprinter or puncher like Alaphilippe. Quickstep strategy is the same as EF. On this short climb, I know Godu used it to attack. Romain Bardet tried to bridge across, but there's this long false flat which just kills solo riders or skinny 60-kilo riders. Storer tried to use it. Honoré went with a move. Powerless with him. But every time, Nathan van Hooijdonk, who was leading out Wout van Aert, but then was marking moves, or Pascal Enkhorn, or Tosh van der Sande would mark it and kill it. And so they're either going to be brought to the finish without working, or Wout would be able to contest the sprint from behind. Becks were also playing with fire. They didn't have riders in the moves. They didn't really have anyone chasing either. So it got to, even then Geraint Thomas started pulling. Tratnik attacked one circuit as well. Jasper Stuyven was pulling. I'm not actually sure in the end who he was going for. Maybe Alexander Kamp or Schoens. But we get to the final climb and the French team, Agidesur Citroën, they've got Greg Van Avermaet, who I think's won this before. They have the best pure puncher in the world. Maybe not best overall puncher, but the best pure puncher in the world, Benoît Cosnefroy, with the skin suit that sort of flaps on the side, launches on the climb, gets huge separation, I think, to Van Hooijdonk or Laporte. Was it Laporte behind Alejandro?
Laporte. Yeah, it was Laporte.
That's the thing that we already mentioned, discussed the TJV strategy. Should he have just dropped back to pull for Wout behind or not?
You know what? When I was looking at him at the chasing group when Cosnefroy attacked, like all the time he was looking behind, you know, like trying to see, oh, where is Wout? And I think that he wasn't like 100% sure, like to chase that move or just wait for Wout. But when there was missing, like, I mean, 600 meters, he saw they wouldn't catch Cosnefroy. And he said, okay, just let's go, yeah? But at the end, I mean, he wasn't pretty sure, you know, like because, you know, I mean, the attack that Cosnefroy did, I mean, was the perfect one, you know, perfectly timed, because that was like the perfect part of the climb to do it, and that also creates like those gaps or those doubts into the teams, because they are not sure if he's gonna get it, if maybe someone else is gonna catch him. So yeah, I mean, that was pretty strange, because Laporte wasn't sure about what to do.
And the minute I saw a 200-meter gap, and there's just sprinters in the third group now. So we've got a third group. It's Binnie, it's Wout van Aert, it's Matthews. Not too many domestiques. No one wants to work with Wout van Aert. Why would you sacrifice your race to the finish with those guys in the group? And then group two is Laporte with, I think, Schmidt or Honoré. Sorry if I've mixed them up. Both of them were quite strong. Van Tricht was also incredibly strong. But let's say it's Schmidt. He's pulling. And I'm like, if Laporte doesn't relay him quickly, this is done. because, of course, you are not going to pull Christophe Laporte to the finish, and he didn't take over quickly enough. And Cosnefroid, on this uphill drag, he won Britannia Classic, where he destroyed Alaphilippe in a sprint when he had two quick-step riders. He wins in a solo move. I called him the best pure puncher in the world, mainly because Benoît Cosnefroid can't get over a 5K 7% climb to save his life. He is the OG, 3-minute big burst pure puncher guy. And it's curious because you'd think he can climb better, but he hasn't. And he's sort of this really interesting, unique rider. And it's a big win for him, for AG2R. It's in Francophone territory, and he wins by 4 seconds ahead of Matthews, Binim Girmay third, Van Aert fourth, Cortina fifth. That's big for Movistar. Honoré sixth, Yates seventh, Betiol eighth, Ulisi ninth, Bargui tenth. I believe Ruben Guerrero was also in a counter move. I glossed over him in front of Laporte. Guerrero or Powers, and they got caught just before, which cost him. But what do you think about Worlds now, Alejandro? Seeing this, I think the Worlds course is closer to this than Montreal.
Yeah.
I think it's closer to this with Alaphilippe a bit, we don't know his status. Cosnefroid, they got a ride from a bit as a protected leader, I think.
I think for sure, looking at what happened today, they have to ride differently. Yeah, because if you are gonna just expect a bunch or a reduced sprint, maybe you will minimize your chances of winning. You have to anticipate, try to do something like what Cosnefroid did, you know, because you are all this time uphill, downhill, you know, and it is a hard course to control. So I expect them riding more aggressively and trying to avoid this situation, because, you know, it can happen the same thing, you know. You just get to with the peloton, find a 3K, everyone is, the group is compact, and then someone comes with this late attack, and then anyone isn't sure about controlling, and that could be the winner move, yeah? So I expect, something different, you know, for that. But for sure, I mean, that's why they chose these races. And Binyam also explained it. I think that is in the clip. He said, the parkour is very similar to the World Champs, so it's the perfect way to prove how I can do it there.
And Matthew's coming second. If you watch the last 500 meters of this, you see the difference in Matthews was hungry for that second place, for the points, because the difference between second and eighth, 400 points for second, 125 for eighth, huge points, 400 virtually saving exchange single-handedly. Binyam going hard too. I think when they were going around Honoré, Matthews ducked out hard, and then Wout stopped his sprint. He didn't fully contest the line for second. But Garcia Cortina, Alejandro Movistar, got to be happy with that. Fifth place, a lot of points. He's competitive. That's what they would have wanted from him. Aaron Beru, I don't know. He came 55th. It's kind of surprising. Maybe he was working for Garcia Cortina. I didn't see exactly that. Arcas and Yuri Holman and the whole team working, I think, mainly for Garcia Cortina, who has a better sprint than him. But yeah, what do you think for Montreal going forward? Is that too hard for Garcia Cortina, and they need to go for a Jorge Izaguirre or Aaron Beru?
I think for Montreal, it suits better for me to Aramburu, you know. At the end, this is a more explosive course, you know, and the altitude also has a big impact. And I think that was better today for Garcia. And you see, he's fifth in that sprint. I mean, when we had here top competitors, there were here a lot of rivals to gain those points. And at the end, he did it, yeah. But Montreal race is going to be too different, you know, and it will be better for Aramburu, in my opinion. I mean, he can do it there really well, and maybe they can just change roles, you know, having Garcia working more for Aramburu, or maybe just try to put Garcia in a counterattack. I don't know, maybe to get that surprise factor. But I think it should play different, you know, because parkour is, it isn't the same.
And yeah, well, before we move on, I'll have a quick little preview of that parkour. As a reminder, Pogacar is here. He came, I think, 23rd, which you say, oh, his form's not looking good. But remember, Giro dell'Emilia or Tre Valle Verrocchio, he then won Lombardia after not being sort of, Roglic looked much better than him. And so world champs road race is still best part of 2 weeks away. I'm not sure we can say definitively, oh, Pogacar's in terrible shape. I think he just is working in. I think Montreal suits him more. I want to see how he goes in the Montreal parkour. But yeah, an interesting final. Colson-Herfoy, very, very strong, getting it right. Binny looking good, isn't it? We almost take it for granted, Alejandro. Like a year ago, we'd be like, oh, I was like, oh, Binny, nice prospect, good rider. He wasn't on Intermarché. No, he had just joined them in August from Delco. He's now literally like a favorite to finish in podium for World Tour one day races. Like, this is almost expected from him now.
Yeah, I mean, like, this year for him has been amazing, you know, like being like 3-4 steps forward, you know, like. I think like for this kind of races, he became like a guaranteed rider, you know, that you always can trust him, like to get a win or a top 3, top 5, top 10 result. And that's pretty good for Intermarché, you know. And at the end, I think that maybe this isn't like his top form, you know. I think he always like has like that margin to do better, yeah. And I think maybe if he can work a little bit more like in that consistency, you know, because sometimes he's just like in ups and downs, he will be like, you know, better from what he is right now, that he's a fabulous rider.
I think he rides sometimes quite negatively, and it might even impact his own result. I think I think he cost himself a Giro stage win on the Napoli stage, where he didn't really relay with Van der Poel, and Thomas de Gent won, and Van der Poel was pretty annoyed, I think, afterwards. And today, I think it is the right strategy, because usually this race can come to a bunch sprint, but I think his plan was just to follow Van Aert. But I'd like to see him with the punch, but maybe if you do that, you could win, but you blow up, you don't even come 10th. So I'm not really criticizing, I'm just saying his current strategy is, and he said it before the race, ride for a sprint. Anyway.
Yeah.
Montreal, much harder, 227 Ks. It's on Sunday, right?
Right.
Sunday night for Europe. 2.3 Ks, 6.2% is the main climb. It's got a 10% 500-meter section in it, but there's also, on this 12.5 K circuit, like three or two other little punches. So the final ascent of that, though, is 11 Ks from the finish, and then there's two little bumps afterwards. This is very hard, this course. I think Bettiol, or I think EF are going to do better here. I think this is more for a Bettiol, Piccolo, Paulus attacking, and I think Van Aert is going to have to be more aggressive on this course. What are you expecting from this race? Do you think it's too hard for Binium and Matthews?
Well, you know, I think, for example, in the case of Binyam, he has to do like the same. Just try to be on the wheels. I mean, this is going to be a harder race for him, because I expect, like, you know, less control, more attacks from Van Aert, Bettiol, even like the Movistar guys, you know, because the parkour is tougher. And, you know, it is like perfect, like, to play with those strategies, offensive strategies. So I expect like a race that will be harder to control. But for sure, I think that, like from what we saw from today, many teams have like to ride differently. You know, for example, Jumbo, I expect them riding more aggressively, because if they come to a bunch of sprint, then this can happen again. And also, for example, well, I would say, you know, Bike Exchange just has to be expecting of what Jumbo is gonna do. Also, Ineos, I mean, Ineos can ride differently. You know, they had today Martinez.
Yates is good.
Yeah,
top 10 here.
He was
looking good.
Yeah, and I mean, this course didn't fit him like that much, you know. And Montreal is better for him, so maybe Ineos can also do something different, you know. Try to play him like from a far attack, something like that, because he's in good shape. So, I mean, we can see a completely different race, in my opinion. But it all depends on the attitude that those teams have.
And, I mean, Bike Exchange and EF are looking good. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a really difficult race for Jumbo to control, mainly because the guys they used to control moves today by sending them with them, Enkhorn, Van Hooijdonk, Van der Sande, Laporte, they're good riders, but this profile suits them more. And if the race is hard and with that accumulation of climbing, even if a lot of it might be shallow gradient, that might thin out Wout's teammates a little bit into the last 2-3 laps. Look out also for Moric, Tratnik, Caruso on this sort of course. I think it could be quite an open race. I think, if especially if you're EF, that's what you should do. Warren Barguil is someone that came 10th here. Arkea came 10th and 11th. It's suiting those lighter guys more. Like when you compare the top just 2, 3, 5 here, Matthews, Binium, Van Aert, Garcia Cortina, from compared to 7th through 10th, Yates, Berriol, Ulissi, Barguil, the latter half are the sort of guys who have more of an advantage in Montreal. But should be a good race. By the way, Bike Exchange and EF are now level with Cofidis and just 140 points behind Arkea in the ranking. They are way ahead now of Lotto, and they might be 1,000 points plus clear after Montreal, thanks to Rahul. He updated that at 10:30, about 15 minutes ago. So huge moves here for teams. For Gacha, though, do you reckon he's a chance, or is he just, you don't trust his shape at this time?
You know, I'm thinking more about Ulissi.
You know, Ulissi?
Yeah, I mean, for me, the parcours from Montreal is better for him, like, than this from Quebec. And he looked good today, you know? And I think Pogacar, like, he's missing, like, that little point. But as you said, like, he's in a rider that specifically has, like, to be on top form, like, in every race he is, you know? Like, maybe he can just be more, like, expecting to ride this way and then, like, try to gain that point once he's in the World Champs.
I think you're right. Ulissi came 9th here, and he's won Montreal in 2017. So I think Pogacar's not greedy. He has his big targets, monuments, Grand Tours, World Championships, but he always seems to have been happy to have his teammates who suit the races go for those. But yeah, that was the Quebec, the Grand Prix Cycliste Quebec. We've got the Montreal roundup on Sunday. Thanks, Alejandro, for joining, for hustling from the race, and for the clips and everything that we had. I really, let us know in the comments. I'm just trying something new with Quebec and adding some different things. And make sure you go and follow Alejandro on Twitter. It's linked down below. But yeah, what are your plans tomorrow? Is there a press event tomorrow for Montreal?
I think there is an event, but I mean, like, kind of a criterium, I think so. But I won't be like that much on there because I have like to use the day, like to use the train and go from Quebec to Montreal and set up all things for the race of the Sunday.
All right, sweet. We'll check back in on Sunday. But otherwise, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for Zwift for sponsoring the show as always. And we'll see you, I'll see you with Vuelta Stage 20 tomorrow. Ciao.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.